There's a lot of things that you might know or be unaware of that are broken, that are making lives difficult for your team members. What's the challenges here? Is there anything we can do to make your lives easier, more fun, more productive, your job, whatever? And they sing like canaries, but only if you ask them. It's all about vision. It's about involving people, giving them a voice and an opinion where they know that we are part of this system and that we can make things better if we contribute. And I always encourage people's ideas.
Always my trusty, faithful, and amazing partner and sidekick. Not even sidekick. That's a terrible term. My partner in crime.
My partner.
God, yeah, so sidekick is a terrible term. Like, you know, I wonder how the Lone Ranger.
I'm Robin. You're Batman. I get it.
Yeah, no. I get to go, what, climb buildings and you go get caught all the time? That doesn't work. My partner in crime. My partner in crime. My Brad Pitt to Danny Ocean's Ocean 11. How's that? Chad Horn.
Better.
Yeah. What's up, Mr.
We're
Chad?
Still criminals, but okay. Yeah, it's better.
Yeah, but we're smooth criminals. Yeah. And on our show today, we have the restaurant rock star of rock stars himself, Mr. Roger.
Hey,
Roger.
What's happening, guys?
Baudouin.
That would be the French. The French Canadian pronunciation would be Baudouin.
Baudouin.
Here it's pronounced every which way, like Badoin and Bowden and Bowden.
Badoin.
Yeah, it's like people get it wrong all the time.
Well, either way, Roger Baudouin, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for spending time with us. Thank you for taking my call. Like, just thank you.
Couldn't think of anything more fun.
Awesome. So, everybody, if you're watching along, you know our show, or at least we're learning our show, and it's usually about talking to people that are doing really cool things in the industry. We are talking about technology. We are talking about culture. We're talking about all things that have to do inside the space of hospitality. And I think what's a really interesting dynamic, and Chad, you're seeing, I'm sure Roger, you're seeing it too. When we look at LinkedIn, LinkedIn's changed. All right. When LinkedIn first kicked off, it was very structured and rigid. And I think I was even one of the, I call it a LinkedIn Nazi. You're not supposed to post family photos here. You're not supposed to get personal. That's for Facebook. Take that somewhere else. Have you noticed that? It's evolved.
I've never tried to do it.
Only I do. I don't know about family photos. I stay away from the kid business, but I do stuff like, hey, there's a hurricane coming to our house. There's something interesting happening. You know, Chad, you do a little bit of it too. We're not completely social. We don't parade our kids around, but there, you know, there's no wrong answers, but it's getting different. Yeah.
Yeah. And neither extreme is right. Right. So the balance is somewhere in the middle. It can be tuned to the person, but you got to stay away from the extremes.
Yeah, I agree. And the reason I brought it up is when today social selling has become more, let's say, vulnerability based, like people want to know that there's a human being behind the scenes, that they connect with it, because when all things are equal on software or services, there's fine, all things are equal. So it boils down to people often. And I think it's an interesting strategy. And Roger, when I saw you out there and how you work with the rest of the idea of restaurant rock stars, and you know, you focus a lot on leadership principles, right?
I'm a huge believer in leadership.
You also, I noticed you do a lot of stuff on gratitude and just general, the way you run a business starts at the top, right? And it trickles down to the rest of the organization.
Well, thanks for saying that, because a lot of people run restaurants, they don't run businesses, and they're not building strong brands. And that's the huge difference. Once you build a brand, then obviously loyalty, affinity goes up. You can sell retail merchandise. You can have additional profit centers. People think of you first. But when you're running a restaurant, anybody can run ABC Restaurant. Not everyone can run a business. And I think that's where my success came from.
I think the run's an interesting turn, too. You can run a restaurant. You can run into the ground. You can run it in all kinds of directions, right?
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
You run a team. You run a team of horses and break them. It's interesting. I think run is an interesting kinetic word. Chad.
It's hard to run away from a restaurant once you get into it, though.
That's right.
You know, a lot of people are tied to the restaurants and they can't run away from it because their life is on the line.
This is the business we've chosen. Chad, you've been around a lot of different restaurant organizations out there, right?
Yeah.
And And culture seems to be an anchor in partnership world. Definitely it mixes in too.
Well, I mean, I mean, just on this vein of leadership, I'm stuck in my head now on this question of, you know, with everything you've seen, Roger, and the people you've worked with, what kind of people, how would you characterize people that might want to run a restaurant, run a business, but just shouldn't? And then who should, and then what's the middle ground where you should, if they have the right tools or the right training and coaching and mentorship by someone like you?
I call them systems, and I think there's three foundational systems to any successful restaurant. And the first would be leadership, accountability, staff training, recognition, and rewards. That's one. The second one is cost controls and maximizing profit. And the third is marketing firepower and affinity. But when I say marketing, it's not an experiment. It's trackable, where you know where is the business coming from and what the ROI is. Those three things. If you've got those three systems in place, you're going to give yourself the best chances for success.
So before we got on the call, and this adds to what Chad's talking about, right? As we're talking about, and I think this is interesting for entrepreneurs and business leaders, is the idea of firing yourself, right? You said you don't like, I think you said you had some aversion to a word, and was it delegate, right?
Well, two words, management or manager and delegate. Mm-hmm. Because I believe that just because someone holds the title of manager or they're promoted to be a manager doesn't mean that they're competent or experienced to lead and that they can get the optimum performance from their team. I don't like the word delegate because anyone can tell somebody what to do and even how to do it. But it's really rare to empower someone, to recognize talent in others, to nurture, develop that talent, give them additional responsibility, and then incentivize and reward them for the achievements that they pull off for your organization. That's a huge paradigm shift between leadership and delegation. I'm sorry, management and delegation.
Well, it goes back to the, I told you what to do, right? That's the whole, like, that conversation there wouldn't happen in the world you're describing.
Culture fits into that too, though. I mean, if you create a culture where there's team spirit and mutual respect and people are all moving in the same direction and there's fun and incentives and bonuses and recognition, I mean, all that just makes it so much harder to jump ship because you think the grass is greener somewhere else. And I think we had a lot of success doing that with some of the things we came up with that made things fun and productive and team spirit related. So that was our culture: hospitality, family, and fun. Hospitality is the foundation of our business. Everyone knows what that means, even though you might have a different definition. And then we wanted our team to feel like family. We wanted the guests to feel like family. And then we just wanted everyone to have fun. And that was a simple culture, but that's essentially what ran the ship.
I have a question, but Chad, you go first.
Yeah, I'm curious. So while you were talking, Roger, I thought of that, I think, somewhat famous saying, right? You don't rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. You're probably... Mm-hmm. You probably say that yourself to people.
Wow, that makes sense. Absolutely.
And I'm curious, you with the fun aspect, do you encounter a persona, a person says, "Well, I got to do it this way," i.e., eschew the system, eschew some of the things that they should have in place because it's how we maintain our positive culture, that spirit of fun, and so they push back on the need for systems in pursuit of that. Do you encounter that persona?
All the time. Well, you know, let's go back to the employee thing. I consulted to several restaurants where the inmates are running the prison and the owners are held captive by the inmates. Yeah. And the whole idea is we need them more than they need us. And I'm afraid if I step in and tell someone what to do or reprimand them or give them some disciplinary, they're just going to bolt. And I need every warm body I can get on the floor. So yeah, a lot of owners are held hostage due to this labor crisis, short staffing. They're just trying to get the food out and make everything as smooth as they can, but they don't want to ruffle feathers or, you know, rock the boat too much. And that's a real problem because it's obvious, right? It's obvious to the guests and it's obvious to the team that the owners are not in control or the manager.
So in that kind of state, right, where, you know, you're surviving, right? You're getting by for a while, but you decide that you can get out of it. What is the first step in trying to break out of that rhythm?
Well, again, there's setting clear expectations. There's setting yourself as a leader in charge, setting an example for others. And then there's the accountability piece, which is critically important. You need to hold people accountable to fair and reasonable standards based on their I call them career descriptions, not job descriptions, because I never wanted people to think of their position as just a job. Okay, we're in it for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, then I'm going to go get another job somewhere else. No, I wanted to show you that if you stay here, I'm buying other restaurants. There's going to be clear progression. You can become a leader. You can become a kitchen leader. You can do all kinds of things. And I created what we call intrapreneurs within my entrepreneurial company. And I love that word intrapreneur. Not everyone knows what it means, but we know that an entrepreneur takes a risk, you know, to start a business in the hopes of making a profit. And there's such a long list of expenses. And that's a really challenging thing to do in the restaurant space. But an intrapreneur is someone who treats the business as if they owned it. They feel empowered to improve the business and they're incentivized to do so. And I had people in all of my restaurants that were intrapreneurs where I worked on my business. I didn't have to be there. I wasn't tied to it. I could go out and do other projects. I could buy other businesses. I could spend lots of time with my young kids when they were growing up, which a lot of restaurant owners are missing. Yeah. And the key was these systems and the leadership and the accountability and recognition and rewards, clear disciplinary procedures, career descriptions. It's all a template.
So When you're talking, I hear my grandpa saying his quote to me all the time, which is, we teach people how to treat us. We teach people how to treat our businesses. We teach people what we'll accept, what we won't accept. I think that is germane to the things you're talking about. And I've had this struggle before, you know, running as being part of a leadership team. And then there's that moment in time where you're friends, almost on the border of being friends with the team, right? And then there's that moment you realize that there's something that happens that says we can't have nice. This is why we can't have nice things. You become the friend or too friendly. And now it's, hey, buddy. And you've lost the organizational part of that leadership, which is I'm just next to you. There's nobody better than anybody else in the business. Every person is a person. Right. However, there has to be some you know, rank and file. And people have to follow a chain of command, and it breaks down, it seems. Or how do you help people establish that balance between friendship and employer, and keeping the camaraderie to the place where it's acceptable, professional, and rewarding, but not lose the just stay out of hey buddy land. It's the best way I can say it, because I've heard so many times, hey buddy, I'm like, I am not your buddy. I've been nice to you because I like you, but we have work to do.
Right. Well, I can give an example. I sold all my restaurants in 2014, but then had the brilliant idea of buying another restaurant just before the pandemic happened. And normally when there's a change of ownership, the existing team members get really kind of squirrely. Is this guy going to be a jerk? It's like, we like the way things are. People are resistant to change, all that. And you've got to set sort of a vision for the future. So I sat down individually with every single person and I told them who I was and what I'd done before and what my vision was for the business and where these people fit in if they wanted to fit in. And then all the things we were going to do that were going to be different than a typical restaurant. The culture piece is this. The recognition is going to be this. We're going to have team building. We're going to have incentives. We're going to have contests. You're going to make lots of money. It's going to be, so you paint the picture.
Right.
But then there's a you don't ask, you don't get aspect to this, because there's a lot of things that you might know or be unaware of that are broken, that are making lives difficult for your team members. And if you don't ask them what's broken, like that's the case I'm making. It's like, I buy this restaurant. I asked everybody, what's the challenges here? Is there anything we can do to make your lives easier, more fun, more productive, your job, whatever? And they sing like canaries, but only if you ask them. And I had a baker and she had to come in at like 3 o'clock in the morning and make like 300 cranberry and blueberry muffins and giant cinnamon buns. She had this huge workload ahead of her every single day. We had a giant mixer that I inherited. It just happened to be there. I wouldn't have known if I didn't ask. She's like, you know, I'm in the middle of a batch. I got the 60 quart mixer full of dough. And every once in a while, it just stops in the middle of the batch. And I got to jiggle the plug or kick it or try to make it work again. It's really frustrating. We fixed the mixer. The kitchen says, oh, the kitchen's way too hot. There's no ventilation. There's no rubber mats on the floors. We went out and we bought them those really comfortable Skechers shoes. We got the rubber mats. We air conditioned the kitchen and now everybody's happy and productivity goes up.
Who knew?
Yeah. You don't ask, you don't get. So it's all about vision. It's about involving people, giving them a voice and an opinion where they know that we are part of this system and that we can make things better if we contribute. And I always encourage people's ideas. I had one program where this all started just on a lark. You know, I realized that people in the trenches see things that I don't necessarily see every day because they're doing that same job, whether it's a dishwasher, a line cook, whatever. So I got the whole team together one day, and I probably had 30 or 40 people in the dining room. And I had all these flip charts with Sharpie markers, and we had donuts and coffee and all that kind of stuff. And I said, you know what? You got a good idea. No idea is a stupid idea. You see things. If you have any idea to increase our sales, improve our profit, a new marketing idea, preventative maintenance, something that's going to improve the bottom line, if I can track it, I'm going to make a short list of all these ideas. And if I think I can track an ROI or some sort of bottom line needle mover there, I'm going to give you a piece of the action for as long as it continues to drop money to the bottom line and as long as you work for me. And then 10, 12 years later, people are still collecting extra money because 10 years ago, you came up with a great idea that still works. Where do you see that? Right?
That's awesome.
That was powerful stuff. I mean, this is the team building. This is the culture. This is, wow, no other business is going to do this. We're staying here. And I had a 15-year-old dishwasher. He was my first employee in my first restaurant 30-something years ago. And the kid just, I could just tell he had something special. Within 3 weeks, he's asking me, is there anything else I can do besides being a dishwasher? Can I lock up for you at night and turn off all the lights and make sure the pilots are in, all that kind of stuff? Send the credit card batch, if you remember what that means 30 years ago, right?
Yep.
I gave him a chance and the kid never let me down. And then 2 weeks later, he's like, can you teach me more about the business? I'd like to learn the financial side. So now I'm involving him in the business and I'm giving him additional responsibility. So he stayed with me for 15 years. He rose to be kitchen leader in two of my restaurants. And then he left me 15 years later at age 30. Why? To start his own restaurant. What's possible in this business. You don't need a formal education. You just need the passion. You need to learn and you need a mentor. You need someone that's going to show you the way.
Right? Absolutely.
Simple stuff, but it's fun. It was fun for me. It was encouraging. It was awesome to see this kid just really grow within the organization, and very fulfilling. You know, you need
Roger,
places to be fulfilled in this business too.
You reminded me of a conversation Beck and I had this morning, right? So you are very experienced to the point where it's like you can come up with the ideal system, or nearly so, for any restaurant, any process.
Yes.
How much does it help, right, to maybe accept less than the ideal, to involve and give others on the team a chance to be a part of creating the process themselves as a means of stretching themselves and having input into the process versus just saying, here you go, right? How do you walk that the nuance between the two?
Well, you know, it's funny because while I was starting this very first restaurant, I was interviewing for a job in the ski industry 30 something years ago. And I kind of talked myself into the room and I'm having this meeting with the vice president of marketing for a guy who ended up running 9 different ski resorts for this company. I got promoted into that company while I'm simultaneously running a restaurant. But here's the point. The point I'm making is I talked myself into the room, but they did not have a job open, but they saw something in me where, wow, this guy can really make some things happen in this company.
Right.
But we don't know where he fits. So the guy literally tells me, go out there and create your own job in this company that's going to put 3x the bottom line what your salary is, and then we'll hire you. So I had to go home and figure out what I was going to do to move the needle on this company. I ended up doing that. I got hired. I gave them the results they were looking for, and I would still be, well, that company went public on the New York Stock Exchange a while ago, and it went upside down shortly thereafter, but you get the point I'm making.
Yeah.
It's like involve your people and give them opportunities to shine. And I totally would encourage someone to come to me with an idea and say, hey, I think I can do this in this business. That goes back to that entrepreneurship thing. Absolutely. You don't always have to, you know, point the way. You can just encourage that type of an atmosphere or a company culture and let people know, I'm open to new ideas. You got an idea? I'll give you a piece of the action. I totally support that.
It's funny because one of the regular conversations I know I have in the industry now is how much more opportunity it feels like there is to do that for someone these days versus even a few years ago because of AI, right? All of these organizations that are just not as with it with technology. And so there is no DNA around innovation. And that was maybe fine a handful of years ago, but now there's such an edge you can get easily through some of the crazy AI tools that someone doing just what you said, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to figure out what I can do to add value here. There's so many companies, so many groups in this country where that for the right person, there's crazy opportunity.
Totally agree with you.
Well, I do believe that's also a house of cards though, right? Like if you're hiring somebody, let's say they're not on the team yet and they're passing themselves off as the real goods. ChatGPT wrote their cover letter. ChatGPT wrote all their information and responses. ChatGPT, you hired ChatGPT. You did not hire this person. You know that they know how to work with ChatGPT. The question, do they know how to do the function, is now kind of lost in, well, let's see. Because all the written stuff can be completely fake now, right? Or close enough. I mean, you might give them credit for going, oh, no EM dashes, no in conclusions, no in a world ofs. Pretty good. But the reality is, I won't say names, but I know an executive who did his whole business plan using ChatGPT, gave it to the C-suite. The C-suite goes, okay, execute on it. He had no idea what any of it meant.
Well, to that, I would say I always personally interviewed people, even 20 years into my restaurants, because I wanted to have an input into every person that worked for me. They had to represent our brand well. They had to be the right kind of person. They needed personality and approach more than experience. We'll train the rest. It's about your personality. I've always believed this business is show business. It's entertainment, and you're not a dishwasher, a busser, a host, or a server, or a bartender. You're an actor on stage. So that's the huge part. So, but when I sit down to interview people, I would ask them questions that they couldn't come up with a canned answer for. They were genuinely to get to the true heart of who this person is. You know, what achievement are you most proud of? What would your high school English teacher say about you? Just really off the wall questions.
Or anecdotal stuff, right?
They couldn't tell me what they thought I wanted to hear. They had to really speak genuinely from the heart. And then I would get a good sense of, you know, is this a genuine person? Does this person fit this organization? How are they going to interact with the other people? And I wasn't the only person to interview them. We'd put them through a couple different, you know, key people in the organization. But it would always start with not the standard questions. What have you done before? You know, why'd you leave your last job? Stupid stuff like that no one cares about. But getting to the heart of the person's, you know, inner core, and why are they here? What's their motivation? Have you ever been in our restaurant before? Have you ever been a customer here? It's like, tell us some things that you can't just tell us what you think we want to hear. And that always served me well. And then we did mentoring and shadowing, which was hugely important. I didn't just turn somebody loose to see what they could do. They would shadow an A player, I'd call them, and even several A players, because people have different personalities, different best practices. You can pick that up from different people. And then we see what they would do. But they were constantly holding their feet to the fire. There were quizzes on product knowledge, restaurant knowledge. I never wanted any guest to ask any team member a question they couldn't answer, where I have to go, oh, I don't know. Let me go ask my manager. You know, you see that happen all the time.
Well, in line with that, because you opened a door earlier on this. So
yeah,
I love the idea that you have a path for people. You know, call it the path or the mentorship or apprenticeship is something you don't see a lot in the US, but similarly, right? And it feels it could be hit and miss. Because earlier you said, sometimes people are promoted to the position and they aren't fully equipped. Maybe they don't know food costing. Maybe they don't know the math. Maybe they're fantastic. They know how to make a schedule shift or whatever their core competency is. So in this idea, help us understand, like, how do you get to well-rounded? Because I might take them under my wing for one thing, but how do I know the moment they're ready to be promotable, or what are the things I do to prepare for preparing them?
Well, without getting into too much detail, this leads back to the accountability piece, because I said I don't believe in job descriptions. I believe in career descriptions. And there were three key elements to any career description. And they would vary by position, of course. But the first, at the very top, is a series of words or phrases or whatever that I called key success factors. And that's what I would expect any person coming into this position to bring to the table without training, without experience. And what are those things? And they vary. It's genuine. It's caring. It's honesty. It's attention to detail. It's cash handling. It varies, right? But you get the idea. I want you to bring these basic things to the table, whether you've ever worked in a restaurant or not. The main meat or the main body of it are primary responsibilities. It might be 5 line items. It might be 10 based on the position. But next to every one of those line items was a blank line. And I would sit down with a new, and I hate the word hiring because I recruited, I didn't hire. but you got a new recruit sitting in the chair and you're going over these primary responsibilities. They got a copy, I got a copy, and I'm reading word by word each line item, and I ask them two questions. Do you understand what I expect for you to be successful with this responsibility? And two, do you agree to do it to the best of your ability every shift, every day? And if they answer yes, they initial the line, and there's the accountability. They might be doing the job great for 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden I see things going sideways and they're not doing those things as they said they would. And that's when the critique happens. They get pulled into a private situation, your office, somewhere there were no one, you know, you praise in public, critique in private. But instead of being the boss and saying, get out there and do it the right way, you're supposed to be doing it this way, get out there. No, I would say, this is what you said you could and would do. I'm seeing you do this. How are you going to change the performance, change your behavior? And then I'd sit back and wait for the answer. And they would have to tell me what they were going to do to correct the behavior. And as soon as they walked out of the office, it had to change because they didn't want to be called on the carpet again. And right. That's the accountability piece. And then to answer your question, the third part of a career description is, if you do a stellar job in all these responsibilities, this is what I think you can do, whether it's a promotion where you can go next or something that I can empower you to take on that's going to improve this business that's related to what you've shown me you can do. And that was my template. And that worked like wonders. It was fabulous. And then, of course, you need disciplinary procedures for minor and major consequences, but then performance reviews every 6 months based on how well they did on their career description. And that's where the incentives and the bonuses and all that kind of stuff come in. And then along the way, there's team building exercises, there's recognition and rewards every single week, there's prizes, there's contests, there's all kinds of stuff going on that's fun. That's basically the framework for accountability and expectations.
That's called investing in your business too. And it's a good investment.
But that's, we started about what do you do first? And need this framework and you need to set the vision with these people and you need to encourage their voice and their opinion and say, you know what? You're not just an employee here. You're part of something that's going to make us successful or not. And 100%. We're looking for people to make us successful.
You got to nurture it. Yeah, you have to.
We're coming up not too far from time. And I want to make sure we talk about some of the fruit of this approach, Roger. I mean, throughout your career, what are some of the highlights for you that said, you know, that tell you, prove to you that this approach to business bears fruit, right? And open to your definition of what fruit means.
Well, fruit was always about loyalty, increased repeat business, positive online reviews, and increased profitability. And I had people across the organization that were empowered to do all of those things. So one particular example that was probably a big needle driver was creating a mug club. And we know what these mug clubs are. You go into a sports bar, you see the mugs hanging, all that kind of stuff. So 20-something years ago, I wanted a mug club. We had draft beer handles, all that kind of stuff. I didn't want to do it. So there's that word empowerment. I had a bar leader that was running the bar, did a great job. And I said, go start a mug club. I didn't tell him how to do it. I'm like, figure it out. So he brought in 25 mugs to start. And this guy could talk to people. He had a great personality. He sold those things in like a day. And then we ordered more. And when I sold that restaurant in 2014, he had sold 1,200 mugs that got renewed every single year for $60 a pop. He brought in $60,000 in cash. And it was free and clear cash because we got a sponsor to put their logo on the mugs and the t-shirts and all that kind of stuff. So all we had to do was give great service to the guests, and they invited all their friends to join, and it just grew like coral. And then the social media thing, and that's what built affinity for my biggest restaurant, and that was huge. So, but you think an extra $60,000 a year is nice, and it sure is. You can do a lot of damage with that kind of money, special projects, new equipment, hire somebody, whatever.
Yeah.
But the kicker was people that used to come into the restaurant maybe twice, maybe three times a month, they're now in there 3 and 4 days a week, and they're eating the food and they're drinking the beer. And then the ladies say, well, how about a wine club for us? We drink beer sometimes, but I'd love a wine club. Right. I'll pay you $60 to have a nice little special glass of wine. And then we did that. And then they said, oh, can I have a rum and coke in my mug? Of course you can. And we just, and that's what grew the business. So imagine the extra spending of the core audience that are now in there 3 and 4 days a week. And that's your brand army that's spreading the word. They're evangelists for your business. They're influencers and they're paying you to do it. That was powerful stuff.
What's one of your favorite restaurants or restaurants that you're most impressed by, inspired by, that set the bar maybe even higher than you have in certain areas.
Well, I live in Portland, Maine, and it's a huge foodie town. And a lot of people compare it to San Francisco for number of restaurants per capita. And there's a whole bunch of James Beard Award winners around here, but I'm not a huge foodie. I don't need foo-foo food. I'll eat comfort food. I'll eat all kinds of stuff. But there's one place called 4th Street that has been iconic for at least 30 or 35 years, and it's chef owned. He's a James Beard Award winner, but it's all about the show again. You walk through the door and everyone treats you like you're the most important person, even if you're a first time visitor. There's a wood burning oven. It's all a show kitchen right in the middle of the floor. You see the action. The ambiance is stellar. The food is over the top and the service is just fantastic. And again, there's that winning formula: food, service, and ambiance. So that we go there for anniversaries and special events, and we're always treated like VIPs, even though we're not regulars, you know?
What's your version of that, Chad?
My version of that?
Yeah.
So there's less of a show, but I think for me, it's, you know, amazing service, amazing ambiance, but that it's that every single item on the menu is truly exquisite. They put so much effort into their menu.
Is this like an Alinea kind of thing in Chicago?
Well, it's in Somerville, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston.
Yeah.
Called Sarma. And it's like, my gosh. It's you know, sometimes you go to a restaurant and there's one thing, right? You try. It's like, oh, that's amazing. Amazing, amazing. But like here, it's everything. It stands out in a very unique way. And it's an aspect of hospitality for sure. And so that's kind of my mind blown restaurant every time we go.
There you go. That's the secret sauce, right? That's what we call the secret sauce of a successful place. And you just feel it the minute you walk through the door, and there's where the social media buzz kicks in and all the, you know, the free marketing versus those experiments
right.
we talked about. And your guests are your best brand ambassadors. That's a winning formula for sure.
There's a place near here called Roca. And it's a Michelin star restaurant, little bistro, but what they do that is the king of the show that just makes it memorable is they do a tableside mozzarella made fresh on the spot. And so they stretch the curds and then they make the in the warm water, melt it down, and they beautiful. And then they slice this warm mozz and put it on heirloom tomatoes. And every single person in the place is snapping pictures as it happens of your table happening and then theirs. And it is. Yeah, it is probably one of the most beautiful pieces of cheese I've ever eaten. It's almost like a living calamari of milk fat. It is just amazing.
That's what we call a hook.
Yeah,
you know, you can't have too many hooks, and those are the things that set your place apart from the competition. Unique, different, special. Bring the phones out. Spread that on social media. What adds to the experience? Those are your hooks. You can't have too many of them. That's cool.
We literally went to dinner at Barcelona Wine Bar, and then we're like, we still got to go to Roca and get the cheese. It was like that freaking good. So
yeah, so memorable. Yeah, you'll never forget it.
Yeah, and when you come, Roger, and when you're in Tampa, I will take you there, and we will have dinner, and it'll be fantastic.
I look forward to that.
Yeah, actually, Eric Knott, our friend, shout out Eric if you're listening. He's somehow tied into Roca as well. So you know, Chad was leading us to this next spot, which is, you know, your years of experience, all the things you've learned along the way, being a restaurateur. And ultimately, at some point in time, we started hanging shingles and planting flags, going, you know what, I'm going to take what I learned and I'm going to do something with it. And I told myself I wasn't going to, you know, do a plug, but then this isn't a plug, but I want to know what you're doing, because I think it's really interesting and meaningful what you put together at Restaurant Rockstars. Because my dad had bars and restaurants growing up. My dad died homeless. My dad gave away the shop and gave food to friends. And just ran it into the ground, thought he was doing the right thing because everybody loved him, right? And I love it anytime somebody talks about it. Well, I love John Taft for the work he does, because he helps people figure
Absolutely
out their
right.
bar menu and lower, you know, and make money. And these things can be generational if they do it right, right? It can be something that lasts an entire family as long as they want it to last. And so what you're doing is extremely meaningful. So tell us a little bit about what Restaurant Rockstars is.
So we do four things. So we have the Restaurant Rockstars podcast, of course, and we interviewed John Taffer, and what an amazing interview that was, you know, months ago. I also speak on a national stage at major restaurant and food shows. I personally coach restaurants because I have a passion to give back and to help others over these challenges and pain points. business failure really, really pains me. So it's like anything I could do to help restaurants. Yeah. And then we sell an online learning management system called the Restaurant Academy. So just about everything we talked about today is literally a turnkey template in the Academy. But the biggest piece is it helps a restaurant create those intrapreneurs where you can assign any of the lessons, any of the courses, the financial piece, the staff training piece, the marketing, anything to any person, watch and track their progress, and give them an incentive for improving your business. So that's pretty powerful stuff.
And how is that delivered? Is there, I mean, so it's a set of courses, and I know you said that you can have actually people allocate that to, hey, you need to take this class, and you task mm-hmm. them with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a learning management system. So obviously you pay for the product, give us a unique username and password that's your login code, mm-hmm. and then you can log in 24/7 from any device. And I hate to call it a course because that makes you feel like you're going back to school. If you're a leader or an owner in a restaurant and you know that your number one priority is the leadership piece, you put that in place first. Or maybe it's the marketing. Maybe you want to start a mug club. Go there yeah. first. Maybe you want to train your staff in hospitality and salesmanship. There's a video series there called Sales Stars. It's doubled and tripled check averages for restaurants, my restaurants, other people's restaurants that have the Academy. But again, it's six modules. It's additional profit centers. It's the cost control and profit piece. It's the staff training piece. It's leadership. It's marketing that's trackable. And then we also have a module on logistics. If you're starting a very first restaurant and you have no idea how you're going to open the doors of this place, it's every single thing you could think of to put all those pieces in place to start your own restaurant. So it's all those things.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So what of those things, what do you spend most of your time facilitating?
Always trying to improve the Academy, always adding new content to it and keeping it up to date, of course. We spend a lot of time doing that. I podcast, I record several episodes a week, even though we release one per week. I spend quite a bit of time doing that. I really like the speaking piece because it gets me in front of an audience live face to face. So not only do I present these things that have made me successful and give these people immediately actionable tools to improve their business, but I talk shop with them on the floor. So I'm there for a couple hours. Hey, I'm a tall guy. I'm 6'6". You can't miss me. Come on up, ask me anything and I'll chat with you. And I love doing that. So the shows are really fulfilling to me also. And then we do webinars as well, besides the podcast. The coaching thing is really fulfilling, helping them solve their challenges, increase their profitability. So it's kind of a mixed bag of all those things. That's my day. That's my week, every week.
So Roger, my neurospicy brain went a little nuts when you're talking about, I don't like courses,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I also like all the things you don't like because you have these great replacements. So when you're talking about courses, and so I used to work with the Bar Association, the bar is a concept of their courses, but they call them CLE, right? Continued legal education.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then I'm like, yeah. What's our version of that? CHE, continued hospitality education. All of a sudden they went off to the acronym of CHEESE, right? So continued hospitality education, empowerment, service, and entertainment or some version of that. Like you be the CHEESE. Sorry, my brain goes nuts. But I do like that continued hospitality education, right? Because it is not, and that's an infinite game. You're never going to learn it all. You're always going to have to learn to be able to learn something new. Lawyers knew it. There's other industries that do say the same thing for real estate agents as well. CREs, CLEs, why not CHEs?
Well, I certainly encourage people to learn as much as they can about their business. And that in and of itself is working on the business, not in it. But think of it as an exit strategy where you don't have to be tied to your restaurant 24/7. You can empower your team to have your back and run it. They say you get a system if you can leave your business for a day, a week, or a month, or even longer. And when you come back, it's just as successful, or if not more so than when you left. That's a system. I was able to do that. I don't run across a lot of restaurants that owners that aren't there all the time because they feel like they have to be there all the time. So exit strategy means different things to different people. Maybe you want to sell your restaurant someday, but you can't sell it and get much value out of it if it's not systemized and turnkey.
Right.
Because maybe the next
because you are the system at that point.
Yes, you're the system. Maybe someone just wants an investment, but it's not an investment if it's not running itself. Maybe you want to open other restaurants. Maybe you want to franchise. Maybe you want to get into a different industry and start another business. Like I went and did real estate projects, you know, subdivisions and building spec houses and all this other kind of stuff. My team had my back. Or maybe more importantly, you want to spend more time with your family and friends and not miss their high school graduations and their soccer games. A lot of restaurant owners are missing that. So that's your exit strategy. You've got a tool here where you can empower and have people in your business learn a piece of the business, execute it, run it, incentivize them. Wow, there's a system. It's huge. And that's called trust and giving people, you know, the benefit that they have good judgment and that they really care and they won't let you down. And more often than not, they don't want to let you down.
Well, there's no love there. There is no trust. Those two don't. Those, mm-hmm. If trust doesn't exist, love doesn't exist. I'd argue that.
Right.
Not real love. Right.
So true.
We could go on and on. I'd love to have you back for another episode where we can riff on another cool subject.
Profit piece. We need to talk about the profit piece next.
Menu costing, maybe. Right.
All those things. Yeah. All the money that's being left on the table.
Yeah.
When margins are shrinking and labor costs are the highest ever. And it's like, what can you do? You don't want to lose your life savings. You want to boost those margins and get back to where you should be. And a lot of restaurant owners aren't doing that, don't know how to do that. And that's a whole topic unto itself.
Then that's what we'll do next. So awesome. Guys, this has been Roger Baudouin or Baudin with Restaurant Rockstars. He's got a fantastic learning management system. Sounds like everything he said here says that this is built with the mind of helping the owner operator, of helping you get out of the weeds, helping you hand off these things that probably shouldn't belong to you anymore, or at least help you ask the questions. Should this belong to me? It's all almost like being a hoarder. Does this love you anymore? No, this can go in the pile, right? But Roger, thank you for sharing your time with us. Thank you for sharing your insights. I know that you'd mentioned that you're active on LinkedIn. And
yes.
And your website is restaurantrockstars.com.
It is.
Fantastic.
And if anyone has a question or challenge that they just want to talk shop about, I'm happy to answer emails. And my email is roger@restaurantrockstars.com.
And that silky smooth voice will answer too.
Yeah, there you go.
And Roger, last part, yeah. Because we like doing road shows, and you said you do road shows and you're a public speaker. Is there anyone that will have an opportunity to see you either this quarter or next or going in next year?
Yeah, I'm speaking at the California Restaurant Show in Anaheim, August 3rd through the 5th. And then September 7th and 8th, I'm speaking in Calgary, Alberta, Canada at the Next Food Expo, which is going to be really dynamic. Brand new show. Yes, the Next Food Expo. It's going to be really cool.
Put on by our friends Dominic Padula and Jay Ashton up there. Yeah, it's probably going to be really big. I know that Cisco's involved now, and they got all kinds of great sponsors and things. It's going to be a really good show. So
I'm excited for it.
Looking to do business in Canada, you might want to look up the guys, Jay or Dominic, and ask if they may have some availabilities there still. So, Roger.
And I'll be in Orlando early November for the Florida Restaurant Show and Pizza Expo.
I will be there for that. We will meet in person.
Great. I look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, if you happen to be in Tampa beforehand, I'll take you to Roca.
There you go. This may all, the stars may all align on those things.
The Jupiter effect. I'm ready. All cool. Right, guys. Well, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Roger, again, for being our guest here. Chad, thank you, as always, for being my partner in crime. And thank you, industry, for letting us have this platform and opportunity to talk. Everybody, please have a blessed day.
Stay well.